Translation and Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. My Lord, who are never conquered by anyone, I am certainly not afraid of your ferocious mouth and tongue, your eyes bright like the sun, or your frowning eyebrows. I do not fear your sharp pinching teeth, your garland of intestines, your mane soaked with blood, or your high wedge-like ears. Nor do I fear your tumultuous roaring, which makes elephants flee to distant places, or your nails, which are meant to kill your enemies. Purport. Lord Nrisimhadeva's fierce appearance was certainly most dangerous for the non-devotees. But for Prahlad Maharaj, such a fearful appearance was not at all disturbing. The lion is very fearsome for other animals, but its cubs are not at all afraid of the lion. The water of the sea is certainly dreadful for all living entities on the land, but within the sea even the small fish is unafraid. Why? Because the small fish has taken shelter of the big ocean. It is said that although great elephants are taken away by the flooding waters of the river, the small fish swim opposite the current. Therefore, although the Lord sometimes assumes a fierce appearance to kill the Dushkritis, the devotees worship him. Keshava Dhrita Narahari Rupa Jaya Jagadisha Hare. The devotee always takes pleasure in worshipping the Lord and glorifying the Lord in any form, either pleasing or fierce. When the Lord actually appeared in front of Prahlad Maharaj and Hiranyakashipu, and especially when the Lord was fighting with Hiranyakashipu, the Lord's form was elaborately described. And also, when the Lord sat down on the throne after having killed Hiranyakashipu, the Lord's form at that time was also described. It was certainly very, very fearsome. People are afraid nowadays of Dracula or whatever. They go to see horror things. I think in London there is a horror. We were passing by some place and we saw where people pay to be horrified. They pay to become scared. But if that is horror, then you can well imagine how fearsome the form of Lord Nrisimhadeva was. Actually, we can't imagine. It's terrifying beyond measure. Such was the form that Hiranyakashipu saw in front of him. And even the demigods, as we have seen earlier, were so terrified that they couldn't approach the Lord. They stayed far away. And eventually they persuaded. They didn't have to persuade, actually. They just gently asked Prahlad to move forward. And Prahlad's reaction was that he was completely fearless. And he says this now to the Lord, that I'm not afraid of your ferocious mouth and tongue. I'm not afraid of your bright red eyes, your frowning eyebrows. I'm not afraid of your sharp teeth. I'm not afraid of the garland of intestines all around you. I'm not afraid of the blood that is splattered all over your mane. I don't fear even the tumultuous roaring of yours that has shattered the hearts of even big elephants who run away in fear upon hearing that sound. I'm not afraid of all these things at all, nor even your nails with which you killed not only my father, but also all the soldiers of his army. So this is one of the consequences of being a pure devotee of the Lord. Rup Vilas Prabhu was yesterday narrating a pastime in which he was attending a class given by Srila Prabhupada in America. And after the lecture, one devotee asked him a question. Srila Prabhupada, what does it feel like to be a liberated soul? And Prabhupada sat back for a while, for a few moments, thought about it, and then he smiled broadly and said, fearless. That's what it feels like to be completely liberated. So Prahlad is feeling like that, completely fearless. Towards the end of this chapter, Prahlad is going to echo a similar sentiment when he says, Naivo dvije paraduratyaya vaitaranyas tvadvirya gayana mahamritam agna chitta shocheta to vimukha cheta sa indriyartha bharam maya sukhaya bharam udvahato vimudham. Thank you, Kalyapani Prabhu. Maya sukhaya bharam udvahato vimudhan. So Prahlad says, Na udvije, I am not scared of this terrible material existence which is very, very fearsome for everyone. Vaitarani. Vaitarani is the a river that divides the material world and the spiritual world. So I'm not at all afraid of this material world, even though everyone finds it very terrifying. And what is the reason for that? Magna chittaha, because my mind is absorbed. Tvad virya gayana mahamrita. In the songs or in the glorification of your lordship, which is like nectar. Mahamrita. On the contrary, I only have one lamentation, shoche, and that is for those who are averse to you, shoche tata, vimukha, those who have turned their backs to you, indriyartha, for the sake of sense gratification, which gives maya sukha. So for the purpose of maya sukha, such living entities have, from time immemorial, been assuming or taking on unnecessary responsibilities and loads. Bharam udvahato vimudhan. And therefore I consider them very foolish. So this is Prahlad's fearlessness. He is constantly absorbed in the glorification of the Lord, in the holy name of the Lord. And therefore he feels complete fearlessness. He feels a sense of happiness. Who in this world can claim to be free of anxiety and fear? Who in this world can claim that he or she is always blissful? But Prahlad can claim, because he is constantly absorbed in the glorification of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada gives two very nice analogies here. One is of the cub and the lioness. When the lioness is seen by others, then she is ferocious. To all other living entities, the lion and lioness are very fierce. But for the cub, the lioness is the embodiment of shelter, protection, love, and so on. Two perspectives of looking at the same phenomenon. One sees it as shelter and love, and the other sees as death or as something very, very fearsome. Another example that Prabhupada gives here in the purport is that of the fish in the ocean. For those of us who have been out at mid-sea in a typhoon or a cyclone or a hurricane, we know how fearsome the ocean can be. And what to speak of the power of the ocean, even the power of a river in flood, Prabhupada explains, can even sweep away mighty elephants. But a tiny fish swims up current against the current of the water. And in the sea as well, even though everything is so turbulent, there are mighty waves and fierce winds blowing, but the fish fearlessly swims within the waters. So what is the reason for that? The reason is, Srila Prabhupada explains, shelter. The cub has taken shelter of the lioness, and therefore the lioness affords or gives protection. Similarly, the fish has taken shelter of the ocean, therefore the ocean gives protection. Similarly, the pure devotees of the Lord, they take shelter of the Supreme Lord, and therefore the Lord gives all kinds of protection. One of the 64 qualities of the Supreme Lord that Srila Rupa Goswami mentions in the Nectar of Devotion is that he is a protector of surrendered souls. And he gives an example that there was a particular enemy of Krishna who became quite enlivened and fearless at the very thought that if he surrendered to Krishna, Krishna would protect him. So even though he was Krishna's enemy, but understanding Krishna's quality as one who protects surrendered souls, he became fearless. And conversely, as far as devotees are concerned, Rupa Goswami mentions that one of the 64 items or limbs of sadhana bhakti is sharanapattihi, which means taking or surrendering utterly to the Lord. There's another one that's similar, that is Atmanivedana. But in Sharanapattihi, Sri Rupa Goswami explains that one actually surrenders to the Lord, and that is called Sharanagati. Sharana is surrender. And in the process of that surrender, one actually gets protection and shelter. Srila Jiva Goswami says that the word Sharana has two components or two aspects to it. One is protection and the other is shelter, Ashraya. And protection means Raksha. So for one who surrenders to the Supreme Lord, there is protection and there is shelter. So the word for shelter in Sanskrit is Ashraya. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10 topics have been identified. Atra sarga visargascha sthanam poshanam utayah manvantareshanu katha nirodho mukti rashrayah. So there is sarga, there is a process of creation of the elements and the other phenomena or the like the tanmatras and so on that are created before Brahma is born, before the universes are created. Then there is Visarga, which is the creation by Brahma. Sthanam, which means the maintenance of the universes once they have been created. Poshanam means the favoring of the devotees by the Lord, who is very kind upon the devotees. Utayaha, Uti refers to the creative impetus. Manvantara refers to the laws made by Manu for regulating the lives of the human beings in this world, of the living entities. Ishanukatha refers to the descriptions of the various incarnations of the Lord. Nirodhaha means the process of winding up the material creation. Just like a spider creates a web, leaves it on for some time and then winds it up again, the Supreme Lord creates the material world, sustains it and then winds it up. So the process of winding up is called Nirodhaha. Then there is Mukti, the ninth topic, which means liberation from all gross and subtle conceptions. Going back to Godhead for the living entity. And finally, there is Ashraya. Ashraya means the, as Prabhupada says, Samam Bonam. The ultimate principle of everything. He who is a shelter for everything and everyone. So the first nine principles are, Srila Prabhupada explains in his purports, Ashrita Tattva, principles that are dependent. They take shelter. But Krishna, the tenth topic of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the most important topic, is Ashraya Tattva, the principle or the personality that gives shelter to everything and everyone. So in all of Srimad Bhagavatam and in all of existence, basically, there are just two principles. There's the Ashrita Tattva, the dependent principle, and the Ashraya Tattva, the principle or the person that gives shelter to everyone. So all the other nine, the first nine principles of that are explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam are dependent. Only Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is completely independent. And it is He alone who is worthy of taking shelter. Devarshi Bhutaptaninam Pitranam Nakinkaro Nayam Vrinicha Rajan Sarvatmanayah Sharanam Sharanyam Gato Mukundam Parihritya Kartam. Again, in this famous verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the nine Yogendras explain to King Nimi that even though there are many obligations that human beings have in this world upon taking birth, they have obligations to the demigods, to the sages, to the human beings, to the relatives, and to one's sons and children and so on. If one simply takes shelter of Krishna, then one is absolved of all these obligations and debts. Gato Mukundam Parihritya Kartam. If one gives up all the occupations of Varnashrama Dharma and goes to Mukunda, the Lord Krishna, and takes shelter of Him utterly, Sharanam, of Sharanyam, then one is freed from these obligations. So there is Sharanam, Sharanyam. Sharanyam means He who is worthy of taking shelter, and that is Krishna. So if we take shelter of Krishna, then automatically we become free from all obligations, from all anxieties, from all fear, because He is the shelter-giving principle. Everything else needs shelter. It is only Krishna who is His own shelter. Svashraya Ashraya, the Bhagavatam says, He who is His own shelter. He doesn't need anyone else's shelter. So this is the principle. Prahlad Maharaj has taken shelter of the ultimate shelter-giving principle, Krishna. And he's experiencing complete peace, complete protection, complete solace. So in this world, we all feel the need for shelter. because the world itself is a very fearsome place. And Krishna is waiting for us to take shelter of Him. He has unlimited capacity to give shelter. Krishna's shelter-giving capacity is not limited. Our capacity to give shelter to others is very, very limited. Of course, we see in the lives of the great devotees like Srila Prabhupada, they were able to give shelter to so many. Because they were representing Krishna, because they themselves had taken shelter of Krishna. So one could talk about a tree of shelter, the shelter tree. The main tree is Krishna. And then he has many branches. And these branches are dependent on the trunk. They grow from the trunk. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulanand ki jai. Shri Shri Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai. Shri Shri Gaur Nitai ki jai. So they grow from the main trunk. They derive their power from the main trunk. So if the trunk is Krishna, then the branches would be like the pure devotees of the Lord who have taken shelter of Krishna. And then they derive some limited shelter-giving capacity. So if you take shelter under one branch, it's not much shelter, but it's something. And if you are a very big branch, then you can give a lot of shelter. But that shelter is dependent on the shelter of Krishna. It's not an independent shelter. So for all who are baffled or frustrated by the way this material world is, the answer is to take shelter of Krishna. And Prahlad Maharaj himself has demonstrated by his own life how we can take shelter. In all conditions of life, in his mind, being constantly thinking of Krishna, he experienced that fearlessness and shelter, so much so that even when his father arranged for him to be subjected to so much torture, like being thrown from the mountain tops and so on, he was fearless. He just remembered Krishna. And there is no description in the Srimad Bhagavatam or elsewhere that Prahlad cried out for help. Although such crying out for help in such extreme situations is not against the principle of pure devotional service, because it is an extreme emergency situation, but Prahlad didn't even cry out for the Lord, because he had taken complete shelter of the Lord. This was Prahlad's position. So it is an inspiration for all of us to realize what benefit there is in taking shelter. And we have all experience of it after coming to Krishna consciousness. We feel so much relief after coming in from the uncertainties of the outside world and the miseries of the outside world. And we experience great happiness in serving Krishna and being with the devotees. Especially, our process is to take shelter of the holy name of Krishna. Namashraya Kuri. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is explaining, Thakoha apana kaje. So when you're tired of your own endeavors in the material world, take shelter of the holy name. So that is our process, and that is what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come here to give. He has come here to teach the world how to take shelter of Him through the holy names. And when we take shelter by chanting with great devotion and feeling, then we feel immediate relief. Prahlad's prayers here are very, very instructive for all of us. They are not ordinary poems composed by an ordinary poet. They derive from the spiritual energy. Srila Prabhupada explains in connection to Dhruva Maharaj's prayers that a five-year-old boy like Dhruva cannot possibly ordinarily compose exquisite poetry, whether in glorification of the Lord or otherwise. A five-year-old child is generally considered quite immature and incapable of such literary accomplishments. But Dhruva Maharaj's prayers were wonderful. The same principle applies to Prahlad, who was also only 5 years old when he was offering these prayers. And these were spontaneous outpourings of devotion. It's not that Prahlad, you know, sat down in his room and then he composed these poems and then he cut and he corrected his poems again, and he, like any ordinary writer would do, and then he memorized it and then he came here and recited it in front of the Lord. It wasn't like that. It was just a spontaneous outpouring of his devotion. It just came out naturally. Something like when, in the old days, you had the gramophone records where you kept the stylus on the record and everything would start. So by the touch of the Lord's spiritual energy, as it was with Dhruva when the Lord touched him with his conch shell, Dhruva started coming up with all these wonderful prayers. So similarly, by the touch of the Lord's hand on Prahlad's head, who blessed him, Prahlad was able to come up with so many wonderful verses glorifying the Lord. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. We have some time for questions or comments.